And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Romelu Chiesa now. Here's a Hunter, and he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Oh, we got a killer show for you tonight. Thank you for tuning in on the heels of the Blitz. Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 is on the air. Guests galore tonight, tickets galore. What more can you ask for? Tell you what more you can ask for. Argentine steaks. Yes, Patagonia. Great restaurant out on I-10. My friend Sebastian Abraham is going to be catering us tonight with Patagonia food and talking football. He's a huge Boca Junior fan. So Boca Juniors might be on the menu tonight. So are Argentine steaks and meats. And of course, we love mixing a little bit of food, cuisine, Andrew, with the beautiful game of soccer.
Doesn't get much better than that, does it, Glenn?
It does not. What's on your mind heading into tonight's show?
Oh, I mean, I don't think there's anything else other than Premier League. What happened this past weekend, we saw one of the most incredible title races, at least in terms of point totals, that I think we've ever seen come to an end this weekend.
Yeah, pretty remarkable to even think that Liverpool could lose only one game, yet they don't win the Premier League title. Pretty amazing stuff. Let's get the table set here. We have an amazing interview a little bit later on. The former U.S. Soccer Secretary General, Hank Steinbrecher, he will be on this show tonight. He is going to talk about the bid process, what it's going to take for us to get in Houston, because this man has incredible experience from the 94 World Cup and was a part of picking for the United States and sifting through a lot of cities bidding back then. Rachel Daly, she is with the English national team in this summer's World Cup for England, of course, under Phil Neville. Rachel had two goals on the road at Utah, the Houston Dash, sitting atop the NWSL schedule. We'll get to her a little bit later tonight. You will love her passion. If you've never been down there to see a Houston Dash game, you will love the passion of Rachel Daly. Ross Smith, just a gem of a guy, former professional soccer player, color analyst for the Portland Timbers. He will be on the show here tonight to give us a little sense of what they're going through. By the way, the Portland Timbers, 12 straight games on the road. It'll be their 11th tomorrow. And that's because they are upgrading Providence Park in Portland. So they are taking things to another level. And, of course, I mentioned Sebastian Abraham of Patagonia, the Argentine Steakhouse on I-10. He will be on the show tonight. 713-780-3776. Again, we're streaming at ESPN975.com. Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, Soccer Matters as well. Twitter, it's Glenn Davis Sock or Soccer Matters GD. And also on Instagram. I was down today at Advantage BMW Midtown, and we shot a little video down there. Any of you out there disappointed that this Champions League final and Europa League final is all about the Premier League? Do you miss the fact that maybe you wanted a team from another country there? Would that have added a little bit of a romanticism to it? Now, I know if you're a Liverpool, a Spurs, a Chelsea, or an Arsenal fan, I know what your answer is. But any of you other maybe neutrals out there, care to opine? 713-780-3776. Does the fact that it's Liverpool and Spurs take anything away from this matchup for you? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776. So Manchester City, Pep Guardiola, they are the winners of the Premier League, 4-1 over Brighton. Liverpool did their business, defeated Wolves in the end. They fall short by a point. Here is the key goal from Sergio Aguero. Right after Glenn Murray had given Brighton Hove and Albion a 1-0 lead, Sergio Aguero would respond in the blink of an eye.
Laporte. Here's Aguero! 1-1! That didn't take long.
No, it didn't. And neither did this. Americ Laporte would then make it 2-1 for Manchester City, and they were off and running.
Corners towards Laporte! And Manchester City go in front and go back to the top of the table. I'm Eric Laporte.
And Riyad Mahrez and Ilkay Gundogan would also get goals, 4-1. Here's what the final whistle sounded like when Manchester City became the champions here in 2019 of the Premier League.
It's Manchester City's title. Manchester City's title again, again and again. Four times in 8 years. They remain the team to beat in English football. Nobody, not even Liverpool, could beat them this year. It has been a Premier League title race like no other.
Four titles in 8 years, and are we going to see more? It's pretty incredible. Here's post-match. Here's Pep Guardiola talking about raising the standard in the Premier League.
I think, honestly, last season we increased the standards from this competition, this is a Premier League. So before with 85, 87, maybe 90, we'd be champion, and we did 100. So I think all the teams realized that, but just Liverpool can handle that. But at the same time, I have to say thank you to the Liverpool because they help us ourselves to be better than the last season. So we control each other, you know, so close because they did an incredible season, but we did a little bit better. So, and that's why we're a champion.
Yeah, listen, Manchester City and Liverpool were the two thoroughbreds. Nobody could catch them on a completely different level than the rest of the Premier League. Let's face it. 713-780-3776. Give me your thoughts. Love to hear from some of the Liverpool fans as well. Here's, before we get to some phone calls, here's Pep again talking about the meaning of titles, because everybody's been talking about the fact that, look, Liverpool's going for the title that Manchester City really covets and desires now, and City won the title that Liverpool really prioritized. And you even talk to their fans, they prioritize the Premier League title over the Champions League. So here's Pep on not the most meaningful title for City.
Well, I would not say that, because win the first Liga in Barcelona when we won in Bernabeu 2-6 and win this league was incredible for me. I think it was one of my nicest ones. So it was my first year as a manager in my hometown, my club of my heart. The club when I love the most, then win the first league. But that is was the most difficult one. Most difficult one for the quality from Liverpool.
713-780-3776. Call in, talk about the Premier League title. We could also throw out the question of the night. How important is it for the city of Houston to get the World Cup? 713-780-3776. Let's go to the phone lines. Mark, you started off tonight. Mark, what do you have on your mind?
What's going on, Glenn? Soccer Matters.
Soccer Matters, Mark. Thank you.
Hey, so I wanted to throw a question. I'm an Arsenal fan, but I'm going to throw a question out there for you and see what your answer is. You know, you were saying earlier about, you know, City getting the title that Liverpool wants and Liverpool having a chance to win the Champions League, which is the title City wants. But which one would you want, the domestic treble that Man City might get or the Champions League title that Liverpool might get?
Wow. Well, I think is that treble unprecedented?
I mean, the Premier League, especially because of how the way the season was this year, with those two top teams being so neck to neck,
yeah.
Just, you know, to win that would be amazing. But, you know, City has won, you know, a couple times already in the last couple of years.
It's four out of eight, and it doesn't look like it's going to slow down. I mean, they're going to be competing for it again next year. And, of course, Liverpool goes back to their Champions League, you know, the miracle in Istanbul. So they have won that. And I think what they probably have coveted more is winning the Premier League. I don't think there's any question. I mean, you can ask Liverpool fans, and they'll tell you that, that winning the league this year seemed more important than winning a Champions League. Now, with that said, you become, you know, you win a Champions League. I mean, you're the kings of Europe. So it all depends on what they prioritize. We all know that the money behind these things is beyond belief. And I guess I'm going to throw it back to you. Four Premier League teams in both the champs, two in the Champions League final, two in the Europa League final. How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, I'm a Arsenal fan, so I'm hoping Arsenal brings the Europa League.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm happy and I'm upset. I'm happy because Arsenal blew a chance to make the Champions League qualification in the Premier League, first and foremost.
Yeah, but you got to feel good that there's a fallback position and they got to the final. Well, they win the Europa League, they're in the Champions League.
Yes, yes. So that's the happiness, of course. And it's always good to lift the trophy at the end of the year, obviously, too. So, and then I'm also happy because, you know, if we, you know, dare we forget, you know, the best game in the Champions League was Man City Tottenham, which was two Premier League clubs going against each other, maybe because of the fact they know each other so well that, you know, they'll play a great, exciting football. Obviously, the fallback would be they know each other so well that they'll play, you know, so defensive-minded that, you know, that it'll be one of those 1-0 games or whatever.
Liverpool and Spurs, yeah. You're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I think it's going to be open. I think it'll be more open. I don't think Liverpool wants to play a game that isn't anything but a little bit more open, and I think there's going to be real drama to it. I always have liked, you know, the reason I'm a big fan of the Champions League is and Europa League is because you get these different playing styles from countries. They look at the game differently. They look at it culturally in a different perspective. That, to me, is appealing. So, you know, it almost feels like another Premier League game, but I know it won't on the day because of how important it is. But, yeah, I always, you know, without a dog in the fight, I I was really hoping Ajax was going to somehow get there, and I'm not taking away anything Spurs did.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of those, you know, teams, you know, outside of the big four, you know, as far as leagues, you know, La Liga or Premier League, whatever. So, you know, Ajax and stuff like that, those, you know, that would have been a great story, especially because, you know, a couple of years back they were in the Europa League final, you know, against United a couple of years back, you know, so, but.
All right, Mark, thank you very much for kicking us off tonight. Best of luck to your Arsenal in the Europa League final against those Devils from London, Chelsea.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right, appreciate it. Mark Wayne in there. Hey, by the way, don't forget King's Court tomorrow night before the Dynamo Portland game. El Batallón and company are going to be out there. It's always a good time. And by the way, we're doing the pre- and post-game show on the Cube on the Heineken deck. So for the first time ever, we're going to do the post-game show out there as well, and I'm hoping somebody, I think it's going to be a destination for people to hang out around the bar after, but got a new set that's going to debut tomorrow, so it could be some real fun with the Portland Timbers, Diego Valeri, Sebastian Blanco in town. Later on in this show, we're going to talk to Ross Smith, their color analyst. Back to the Premier League, Pep Guardiola is saying, put the brakes on calling us the greatest team in Premier League history.
Always I had this theory, the same would happen in Barcelona when it's there, if it's the best team ever or whatever. So within 10, 15 or 20 years, the people talk about this team is because we were a really good team. So it's like the books, like the movies, you know, when sustain the pass of the time and after 25 years the people watch the same movie or read the same book and the people maybe in 50, 20 or 25 years, the people say it was one period, like these guys did it a lot of points, but they played really well, that is because we deserve to be alongside for the biggest Man United, biggest Liverpool, Chelsea, or Arsenal, or whatever. I think now is not the time. You know the time? Because after shower, we have to start to think about it and what for. The big competitors are like this. They are never satisfied.
Oh, you just heard it. Big competitors, never satisfied. And those are rare. Those are rare people. How vibrant and inspirational has Pep Guardiola and Jurgen Klopp been? I think people like Klopp more because of his personality. Why do people not like Pep? But for what these two men have done, these guys are Jedi masters. They're oracles. They have somehow, with multi-million-dollar athletes, kept them focused and consistent to group goals, despite the fact that you're talking about superstars. Now, that may come down to the humility of the players they've selected. Van Dijk, Salah, these guys seem incredibly humble. I think the container that Klopp has and is used to his advantage is the fanatical Liverpool fans. It's as though when he talks about his team, it's like you're in a room and all the fans are in the room too. It's that personal. But that container, I think, with the fan base, the expectation, the fact that players are playing for the shirt and the fan base in a deeper, meaningful way, keeps it all in check. And you got a leader. I mean, this is an inspirational leader. Guardiola as well. and stop this nonsense just because they tend to have, and even in City's case, it's probably more conversation around them, that they have so many resources that that makes them title winners. And don't be the idiot who says, well, how good would he do if he was coaching Brighton Hove and Albion? Let me just give you a memo. He is never going to coach Brighton Hove and Albion. He's not going to coach that level of team, I don't think. Nothing against that. I don't think he's going to pull a Marcelo Bielsa. We'll talk a little bit about them. These two men, these are leaders. This is refreshing in sports, where so much of the time now is about, you know, posturing and drawing attention to yourself. And we see it every day from politicians to actors to sports people. It's all about them. Nah, I love these two teams because of the way they've been able to stay focused on the task at hand, and that is in the toughest league in the world, the Premier League. By the way, Bruce is back. All right. Taking a break. It's Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Our thanks to Patagonia Restaurant out on I-10. We appreciate that. Also, our thanks to our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, the Daspit Law Firm. That firm, they're going to have you covered no matter what happens. Construction injuries, plant, refinery, car, motorcycle, you name it. They're going to work for you 24-7, 713-322-HURT. DaspitLaw.com. They are our presenting sponsor, and they are also our presenting sponsor of our new show in Austin on the Horn. That's on Sundays at 12 Central Time. So we're going to take a break with all that talk. Much more to come here. We're going to talk steak, Argentine style. We're going to talk Boca Juniors. We're going to talk Champions League, Liverpool, Houston Dynamo. Big week. Two more games to go for the Dynamo here on Wednesday, Portland, and then on Saturday, Wayne Rooney, the Manchester United legend, comes to town with DC United.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we're about to have one of the most fun segments. By the way, in Argentina, yeah, we know they love football. They also love hard rock, and they like AC/DC, because I once saw some footage of AC/DC playing in I think it was Buenos Aires, and it was ridiculous, the fans. We welcome you back. So what we had just delivered here, my good friend Sebastian, he is the owner and chef of Patagonia. He's in studio now. Also with him is Alex. Now, I got to put a disclaimer out right now. Sebastian is a Boca Juniors fan. Alex is a River Plate fan. And before I get to them, I just want to remind you, this restaurant is outstanding. It's Patagonia. It's a 8408 Katy Freeway. So if you're going west towards Katy, it's on your right-hand side. Amazing place, great wine selection. The food that they just brought in here, I knocked down a blood sausage before coming back on the air here, and I'm trying to collect myself, but how good it was. Empanadas, too. By the way, Andrew Carlson, producer, you sampled the empanada.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Warm, warm, they melt in your mouth. All right, so we welcome in Sebastian Abraham. We also welcome in Alex. Sebastian, thank you for coming up tonight. And first of all, thank you for bringing this amazing food.
Thank you, my friend. It's a pleasure to give me the opportunity, this beautiful invitation to come here to see you, you know, and talk about a little bit about soccer, talking about a little bit about the passion in Argentina with food, soccer. You know, Argentina is a very passion life, you know, people, they... And so the life over there is everything is about soccer.
Soccer,
steak, wine, and tango, you know.
Like, oh, we love the Argentines. And the other thing is, it's an Argentine invasion in Major League Soccer. Keep them coming. We want more Argentine players here because we want passion in our league. Food and football in Argentina is passion. And there are specific foods that go with games, right?
Yes, especially, you know, remember something, Glenn, in... in the old-fashioned school, in the old-fashioned school, remember is how family enjoy. And this year we don't have a phone, we don't have a tablet, we don't have a computer. People enjoy a good meal with the family, play, go to see a good game on the weekend. And that's when the fans enjoy, you know, food, wine, and the soccer, the passion of the soccer.
And we also have the same thing that equals a hot dog. I mean, equals a hot dog in the baseball game. We have the choripan, which is actually
that's the one you brought, right?
That's exactly the one you brought. So pretty much it equals the same thing. When you go to a baseball game with your family, you enjoy the game, you enjoy a good hot dog. We do the same in Argentina with a choripan, which is the equivalent to it.
What's the ingredients in it?
Sebastian, what's
the ingredients? You know, the choripan sandwich is, remember, is a big, the big percent of the population in Argentina is Italian. And it's like a Italian sausage, but they have the spicy, the flavor is the Argentina inside, you know? All the passion inside in the sausage. That's when it's a small bread baguette, a French baguette. In American, they call Oggy French baguette. And just very simple. They put two sausages inside, cook it in the grill with chimichurri sauce, and that's when we enjoy every weekend when we went to enjoy a good game. That's when the people enjoy in La Cancha and el football, you know?
So, yeah, I knew my passion game had to be lifted when you two guys were coming in here tonight. And you know what I'm thinking about right now? I'm going to be dead honest. I want this break to go very fast here so I could go back out to the table and eat some more of the food you brought. All right, so look, Sebastian, you're a Boca Juniors fan. I'm going to get to you, Alex, in a second. How did you become a Boca Juniors fan? Why Boca Juniors?
You know, Boca Juniors, when, you know, in Argentina, when we was a little one, what we doing is, I repeat, in this year, we don't have anything more than playing soccer. That's what we doing. Everybody playing soccer. Across the street, in any play, we playing soccer. And you have a two, three options. In this year, all, you know, if you know, Argentina is the two more popular club over there is Boca or River. Mm-hmm. You have a Racing, you have a San Lorenzo, you have many other places, but I choose Boca because, you know, we have a Diego Armando Maradona, my friend Batistuta, Caniggia. Anything else?
Yeah.
You know, and then so we have a...
I can do the history.
And this year
Juan Román Riquelme.
Yeah, Riquelme. Beautiful. My friend.
Artists,
yeah,
right?
No, it's unbelievable.
They're artists like you are. Especially with the steaks.
I will let you tell you something for this River guy is next to me.
Okay,
just I'm just holding back right now.
No, Alex is going to get his shot.
If you go to Argentina tomorrow, you know, everybody... When are
we going? I thought you said we were going
everybody
to Argentina.
Everybody love to go to La Boca. Why La Boca? This is when Argentina start, when all the immigrants coming. That's what is the tango. What is the soccer? That's what is everything over there. I don't know about Riverside.
All right, now.
But that's when the passion of La Boca is amazing, my friend.
All right, now we got to give Alex a shot. Okay. Now, Alex is a River Plate man. Now, first of all, how do you guys work together without throwing knives at each other?
Well, we grew up together as two were kids.
So you can separate the passion for your clubs.
Absolutely. Yes. I mean, we always respect like friendship and the sport. We do talk a lot of smack between each other, of course, like any other team, any other fan. But, yeah, River Boca has something very specific, especially when it's a game like happens last year in the final of the Copa Libertadores, which was the biggest.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was one time in the first time ever in the history of time that happens. Like, they get to these two giants meet in the final, which is, like, pretty much proof who's the best and who's not. I guess I'm making a statement when I say that.
I'm looking at your face, Sebastian.
And then going back to what he was saying earlier about the players, he forgot to mention River Plate, Enzo Francescoli, the prince of Uruguay, Salas, Chilean Salas, E. Gonzalo Higuain, Ayala, pretty much if you talk about the Argentinian national team, back in the day, 85% of the players come from River Plate. So do I have to say anything else?
No, I mean, this is a wonderful conversation. And look, you guys do realize one would not exist without the other, right? It's like Liverpool and Manchester City like this year fighting for
absolutely
the title. You need each other.
I agree. It's like Batman and the Joker. Yeah. We need each other. That's absolutely right.
100%.
It's like that. It's like the Barcelona, Real Madrid. It's part of the show. That's when the big population, they love to see this beautiful, high-end soccer games, you know, and everybody enjoy, you know. It's with a good friend, yeah. We enjoy, but yeah. The only without problem this guy is River, you know.
Without going further, if you know a history, River Plate and Boca Juniors, they both come from Boca. They both say Boca support is supporting Buenos Aires. So in the 1800s, the first team created on there was Boca Juniors, which is River Plate right now. That was Boca Juniors. They moved into the city within the years, and the people that stayed in the port, they created a new team, and it was had a different name. But see, they take the colors of the ships. Well, the ships were coming from Sweden, so they got the blue and yellow. So they created the other Boca Juniors, and River changed the name to River Plate at that time. But both of the teams were Boca Juniors in the beginning. Not many people know about that.
No, that's a great tidbit you just laid on us. Now, the other thing that I love, and the Dynamo have a couple Argentine players, Tomas Martinez, they've got Matias Vera. All these guys have ties to either River or Boca down the line somewhere.
Yeah, this is beautiful for U.S.
So tell me, obviously, the Argentine market for players is a good one right now. Tell me kind of what's going on in Buenos Aires and Argentina, the country, that why so many players are taking opportunity elsewhere.
I think so, you know. I don't know, Alex, what are you thinking, but in terms of the economy.
Economy.
You know, the economy go very, very down. You know, we're talking about dollar, the power of the dollar. In terms of United States, have a lot of opportunity to bring all these young kids, very professional. In terms of they make a good money today in United States versus Argentina. And in terms of this is a very good opportunity today to bring all these young kids, you know, the very with a big potential in soccer. I think so it's economy issues. It's a very potential good opportunity for the United States, bring all the young kids, you know?
Plus the financial power that the European teams have comparing with the teams in South America. Mm-hmm. So they're recruiting stuff. I mean, they're really good at it. So as soon as a spotted player that is good, this player is never going to play in South America. They're going to play in, like, I give an example, Messi. Messi have never played in Argentina. He got scouted by Barcelona when he was a really young age. So sure. That happens with most of the players. It's rarely these years that you see players that they really get to make it in the Argentinian league and they get scouted to Europeans. Usually they get picked up before. There is exceptions at it, but I mean, mainly right now it's they get scouted at a very young age.
Talking to Sebastian and Alex, Sebastian, Patagonia, a great restaurant, 8408 Katy Freeway out there. Do you get a lot of Argentines in there now, figuring you out and finding where you are? I would imagine, right?
We have a lot of Argentina people coming to my restaurant, and a big portion of the American Texas people, you know, here in Houston, we have a lot of people. They travel to Argentina. They feel the passion. It's unbelievable in the last 10, 15 years how America, they start to travel to South America.
Yeah.
They discover something very special, the soccer, the passion, the food, the steak, the gauchos, like the cowboy here. Very similar culture, very similar. The only difference is the language. But they come into my restaurant, but they love to enjoy the passion or culture or food. It's great, you know.
Here's one I got to ask you guys, because I got to make sure I drop this in now. It's a little off topic now. Why do some Argentines not take Lionel Messi as their own? Is it because he left so early for Spain? I mean, is that solely the reason?
If you want me to answer you that, it's a very divided opinion.
Yeah.
Because it comes to this, like, Argentina is the only country that has, like, 35 million soccer coaches. Everybody in Argentina thinks like it's a coach of a national team.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tell. See, like, the point is, like, you cannot compare. It's like, it's hard to explain. I mean, Lionel Messi is a great, for me, in my point of view, he is the greatest soccer player at the moment. Without disrespect, Cristiano Ronaldo fans, because he's amazing too. I have nothing bad to say about it. The only thing is, like, this is an 11 players team. You cannot expect that one person win everything by himself, I mean, by his own. I think the problem with Messi and Argentina is that people try to find Diego Maradona in him, and he's never going to be Diego Maradona. He's a completely different player. So you have to look at him as an individual, not trying to compare him with what Maradona achieved in his times.
That's what human beings love to do. They love to compare, and that's a part of our daily life, I think, right?
I have a lot of people, you know, they say, hey, Sebastian, what do you prefer, Maradona or Leo Messi?
Yeah.
you know, Maradona. The passion. He played in Napoli. He played in many different plays. Always was the number one.
I got another one, but you're going to think about this one while we're in break. Because there's Cesar Luis Menotti. There's Carlos Bilardo. We're going to talk about who is the greatest Argentine manager when we come back. Now, what do you suggest I try when I go back out to that table? What should I have now?
We have
parrillada. Yeah?
Argentina parrillada.
Tell us about it real quick.
Steak.
Yeah.
We have a short rib, chicken.
Everything.
Chimichurri, empanada.
Empanadas.
Hey. Choripan sandwich.
Let me remind you where it is. It's 8408 Katy Freeway. It's Patagonia. It is an awesome place. They have a big TV in there. If you want to go in and watch a game, which I have done at your bar, sit there, drink some wine, have a steak, and watch a great soccer game. That's another thing you can do. But it is a really, it's a very inviting restaurant. It's a very homey, kind of comfortable, beautiful woods, beautiful lighting, all kinds of Malbecs. But, you know, Malbec's not the only thing that Argentina does good when it comes to wine. No.
No.
Nah, there's other good wines. We're going to come back. We got Sebastian, Alex. We're going to come back. We're going to continue to talk Argentine soccer, Argentine steaks. Thank you to Patagonia. And as we go to break here, a quick reminder here, Kings Court tomorrow prior to the Dynamo Portland game. Hey, there's Argentines playing tomorrow night. There's going to be four or five of them in the starting lineup for both the Houston Dynamo and the Portland Timbers tomorrow night. So if you want to get your Argentine fill-in, get down there. Check out Matias Vera. Get down there and check out Tomas Martinez. Get down there and check out, you know Diego Valeri and Sebastian Blanco. You know those guys?
Yes.
They are there. So we'll take a break. We got more to come with Sebastian and Alex.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, we are having an absolute blast here tonight. It's so much fun having Sebastian and Alex in studio from Patagonia Restaurant, 8408 Katy Freeway. Probably never saw a guy eat steak that fast in a commercial break and an empanada and a blood sausage, but I'm still breathing, and the food is unbelievable, honestly. It is good. I extol you to get out there, 8408 Katy Freeway. It's Patagonia. Really, really cool environment. So get out there. It's if you're going west towards Katy, it'll be on your right-hand size here. Quick word here, Cube 57. It's the official home of the Houston Dynamo matches this year. So you can catch Albert Elise, Mauro Menotti, Kiki Struna, the Dynamo on that channel. Make sure you tune into the Cube to catch the pregame show a half hour prior to the match. So tomorrow night we're doing it on the Heineken deck. And you can come down there. Eddie Robinson, myself, Cindy Bourbano. We are your team on the Cube for all the Dynamo games here in 2019. So we got a busy week this week with the Dynamo Portland tomorrow. Then we turn around. Wayne Rooney of Manchester United fame coming in Saturday with DC United to take on the Dynamo. We're trying to get more fans out to BBVA Compass Stadium and see the live game. All right, so we welcome you back in. If anybody wants to call in tonight, 713-780-3776. So we posed the question, Sebastian and Alex, before we went to break. Before we go into the question of who you guys like as your favorite manager of all time in Argentina, you said it's a nation where everybody's a soccer coach. Well, it's a nation that produces tremendous managers as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Right?
Yes. And the level of pressure is insane. For every single guy that takes over the national team is under a lot of pressure.
What do you guys think the problem is with the national team right now? Is it the Argentine FA? I mean, is it behind the scenes? Is that part of the problem? I mean, so many people are heaping the blame on Lionel Messi because of who he is.
I think it's a lot of different issues that you can pinpoint one and say it's that. For me, in my point of view, it's the chemistry of the team. The players are there. The talent is there. It's just there is no chemistry. There is no, like, you have players that play in completely different leagues, Italian league, Spanish league, British league, German league. And you bring them in one weekend and expect them to play together as a team, and it's not working out. And you can blame the coach, you can blame Leo Messi, but I think it goes beyond that. I think this needs...
What about player selection? Are they picking the right players for the national team? Is there politics involved, do you think? Agents, politics, yeah. Right? I mean, we hear some weird stories, right?
Everybody is involved.
There's like a legend say, like, it's like you have two coaches in the team. You have the coach and you have the player's coach, which is Messi, Aguero, and Mascherano, basically choosing who's playing and who's not. We honestly don't know that because, I mean, we're outsiders, but, I mean, it's a lot of politics going on inside the team, yes.
Yeah, it's worrying. It's kind of sad, but there's no denying the Argentine passion and what goes on. All right, so who's your favorite manager all time, Sebastian, before I go to Alex?
Bilardo.
Carlos Bilardo?
Yeah.
Because?
Because Intenso is, he made something great together with Maradona in the 86, yeah?
In Mexico?
Yes, Mexico 86. And then so this guy make a great, great history in Argentina about the soccer and everything. Is for me, is the number one.
I want to have to agree in this one.
Yeah.
Carlos Bilardo, because, I mean, when he came out in Mexico 86 at the World Cup, he was the most hated person in the country. I remember as a kid seeing the newspapers and seeing the pictures, and nothing good was being said about him. He was, like, hated by everybody. Nobody believed on him. And he got down there and, like, with his little team, and, like, then, of course, he got a magic card, which is Diego Maradona, but nobody knew about that yet. And what he did was incredible. I mean, it was the biggest underdog in that World Cup, and he took it over. So I have to give credit to him, absolutely, yes.
You know, you Argentines are funny people. Because 86, okay, I get Maradona. What about Mario Kempes and Cesar Manote in 78?
That was great.
In front of your
they're
own
great,
country.
We 77. See, 77.
You guys are cool. I just showed my age.
Well, I think it's a difference because at that time you played in the World Cup at home.
You guys weren't
born. It's a difference playing your World Cup at home and playing in a different country, which is more hostile. So, see, like, I give a little more credit to, like, what Bilardo did. I'm not taking credit away from Menotti at all. Don't take me wrong. But I think what Bilardo achieved was a little more complicated.
You think?
I think so. My point of view, I think.
But home pressure can sometimes work in reverse. It could be even worse.
No, you're right.
I mean, nobody ever knows how this happens. Look, the French women are going to host the Women's World Cup. yeah. It's easy to sit here and assume that, oh, because they're home, it's going to be easier for them.
No.
They're going to run into pressures they've never, ever had as a women's national team.
Yeah. No, they're going to have to pay the greatest
because
women's
of national
the USA.
Pride, right?
They have a lot of pressure, my friend.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, they're going to have people in their country concerned about women's soccer that have never been involved with it and concerned about it before, strictly from the nationalistic pride side of it, right?
Yeah, you got
to brings play. Pressure. I mean, it's a beautiful thing.
You got a point in that, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Outside of Maradona and Messi, let's talk about some of our favorite players. What about the Diego Simeone?
I love Simeone.
The man in black.
You know what I love more? I love Batistuta.
Ah, Batigol.
Unbelievable, this guy.
Yeah, the days of Fiorentina when he had Rui Costa, the Portuguese guy, setting him up,
amazing.
Right?
Amazing, this guy.
Everything he did was amazing.
What does he do post-career? You know what I always liked about him? He always seemed like a very humble guy. He had the long hair. He was cool. He looked Argentine. Tremendous goal scorer. Fiorentina with the purple jersey.
Very educated. He came in for a very good family with a good education.
Seemed
you know?
Like a really put together guy.
He came in for a very medium-high class family is a very, very educated man. Yes, very nice.
He's good. He's really good. He was great when he played.
Where is he now? Is he back in Argentina?
He's in Argentina, yes.
Yeah, he's in Argentina. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's doing some stuff. I don't know. He's not playing for sure.
Nothing with football anymore?
No.
Even a comentarista?
I saw him talking. He was like working for, I think, some Spanish channels, making like side comments, stuff like that. Yeah.
A little bit.
I mean, like, yeah, but he's not that much anymore.
It's kind of interesting because he seems like a guy that, you know, once it was over, really kind of wanted to be away from it. You know, whereas other guys, the first time they get, you know, Mourinho gets fired and 2 seconds later he gets offered TV. He's got to be back
everybody
on TV because his ego's so big.
Right? What I admire, like I was talking to you earlier, was like Marcelo Bielsa. I think Marcelo Bielsa has a comeback. I mean, honestly, I believe that he has a comeback.
He's got a big game tomorrow with Leeds.
Yeah.
He's got a 1-0 lead over Derby County to advance in the playoffs and try and get Leeds into the Premier League. That would be some accomplishment because Leeds has a tremendous history.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And who would have thought Bielsa and Leeds would be a good mix?
Nobody.
But he's...
Is there? I mean, I believe in him. I think he's great. I mean, besides Carlos Bianchi in Argentina, you said the name Bianchi. It's like, especially for the Boca Junior fans. I mean, Bianchi is God for them.
What about Diego Simeone, what he's done at Atletico Madrid?
Oh, he's great.
He's very good. Great guy.
The man in black, excellent. Right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, this guy.
Cholo Simeone is amazing.
I mean, he's about to lose Antoine Griezmann, though.
Griezmann's
gone. He's
from Barcelona, right?
Yeah, he's leaving. Yeah, I think Barcelona.
Boy, they need it. I'm sorry, I don't want to put my Liverpool fanaticism in here, but they need some help.
Guys, Sebastian, how many Argentines do you think do we have now in Houston? I mean, I have a lot of friends in Houston that are from Argentina. What do you think we're at? 4,000 or 5,000 more?
6,000? That's the number they say. Yeah. 5,000.
Do they all come to eat at your restaurant at the same time?
We have a lot of Argentina, yes. We have a lot of Argentina people coming to my restaurant.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when you get in that kitchen, and I've been back there with you because we did a fun TV special, the last World Cup with Danny Gonzalez.
Oh, yes. We enjoyed our friend.
And I got to go in your kitchen, which was really cool because there is an art to this. You are an artist, right?
Yes.
And you take this, every little piece of meat, big piece, you treat this like it's a part of your family.
It's like a ritual, you know, when it's like the soccer, the passion, it's the same with when we make the food. It's part of our DNA, you know. It's a lot of passion when we cook any steak. It's for Argentina, steak is serious like a soccer.
I want my listeners, because I think a lot of my listeners are going to go there. And when you go there, you ask for Sebastian or Alex. It's 8408 Katy Freeway. It's Patagonia. It's an amazing Argentine steakhouse. Tell us about how you get your meats, because it's not an easy thing you do.
Okay, you know, it's we have a iron in Patagonia for the last 5 years. And the meat started to come in from Argentina last month. I intend so next couple more weeks, we start to have the meat from Argentina. After 22, 23 years, Argentina have a problem to bring the meat, commercial problem with United States. Now the meat start to come. But what we're doing is in Texas, we have a great, great meat. And we have a different farm, Patagonia. The Council of Patagonia support farmers and ranchers of Texas. And what we're doing is we teach them exactly the Argentina cut we needed.
Ah.
And that's when the meat is, they grown out the cow. They have a beautiful cow like an Argentina, Black Angus Prime, and the grass feed, hormone free. And we teach them the cut, and that's the meat, very similar and the same like Argentina. We have a great quality here in Texas.
Well, Texans and Argentines have one thing in common. They love beef.
Both,
right?
That's correct.
They love. It's a two same culture. They love hunting. They love fishing. They love. We have a gaucho. They have a cowboy. It's the same.
Yeah.
Just only the language. It's the difference.
You also have salmon, too.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you do the
salmon. We have a trout, salmon. We have a lot of seafood.
Some of the appetizers are amazing. I mean, I love the blood sausage. And I know some people don't, but I love blood sausage. I think I'm part Argentine, maybe. Maybe I am. Maybe if I do that thing where they trace your ancestry, they may find out I was from Buenos Aires.
You're like 45%.
All right. Listen, guys, we got to wrap this segment up. Listen, thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you both for coming up here. Thank you.
You know why also this is cool is because you guys both bleed passion for soccer and for food and for your restaurant Patagonia, and that's what makes this special. And this was fun. Two segments. We could have kept going, right?
Thank you very much for this amazing invitation.
We're going to do it again, and
yes,
you're likely going to see me stumble into your place this weekend,
please,
so be
thank
ready.
You.
Well,
thank you.
Well, it was great to have you around.
All right. That's Sebastian and Alex. Not only these two guys know a lot about soccer, but, man, Patagonia Restaurant, 8408 Katy Freeway. We're going to put some pictures up of their visit here tonight. And some shots of, I think Victor Ariza may have already put some shots up of the amazing food that they brought in here to Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. So a big thank you to, we do have some tickets to give away, right. So how about this? Caller number 4 right now, you get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo DC United and Wayne Rooney. Caller 4. And guess what? Caller 6, you're going to get a pair to Bayern Munich and Real Madrid. Caller 4, Dynamo DC United. Caller 6, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid. Right now at 713-780-3776. Let's take a break. It's a John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm break, along with Patagonia Restaurant.